Mysteries. There are mysteries in our world, so many. Mysteries of creation and the cosmos that are beyond our reach. And for every mystery solved by science, there are hundreds of more waiting in the wings to be solved. The mysterious movement of God is not restricted to scientific research. No, every day in your life and in mine, we are confronted by things that we just don't understand. Mysteries that will never be solved or understood. Prayer. Prayer is one such mystery. How is it that God works in prayer? Does God listen to us when we pray? Does prayer change God? Is God active? Now, to tell the truth, the mysterious movement of God is not the real problem for us. No, the real problem for us as people of faith, as we pray, is the deafening silence. That deafening silence terrifies us. The silence ushers in doubt, and we wonder if it is all true. The great theologian Helmut Thielicke, German theologian, said the silence of God is the greatest test of our faith. The silence of God. Silence. Most of us are not comfortable with silence. If we petition a friend or a loved one and receive only silence in return, then we are left alone to write the narrative. And the narrative will most likely be dominated by fear. We encounter fear every day. Some of it is healthy. Some fear is rational. Some things are indeed a threat to us. Fear can keep us alive, but fear can also keep us from living. Most of our fears are, in fact, irrational, based on superstition or an addiction to a 24-hour news cycle that breeds fear. The silence of God. The silence of God is a problem for us. The silence of God leaves us to write the narrative. The silence of God is the greatest test of our faith. People of faith, like you and like me, we are plagued from time to time by doubt. It's always been that way, and it will always be that way. Silence. We are uncomfortable with silence. And so from time to time, in the midst of that silence, we shake our heads or we shake our fists to heaven and we say, "Are you listening, God? Have you heard my prayers? Do you care? Do you exist? How am I to understand your inactivity? Say something. Do something." The mystery of prayer, the silence of God, is as old as time itself. Our text for this morning comes to us from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, one of the disciples addressed the great rabbi Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, do you understand what's going on there? What does that mean? It means one of the followers of Jesus did not know how to pray, or perhaps was praying regularly with no results and felt like, "I need to do it differently." And so the disciple says, "Lord, teach us to pray." And you know the response. Let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are going to be considering prayer this morning. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. 2,000 years later, this Lord's Prayer is still memorized, as was evidenced by your memories today. It's still cherished. It continues to be one of the foundational teachings of the Christian church. And yet this prayer, like most prayers, leaves us in the end sitting in silence. The silence of God is the greatest test of our faith. We pray. We pray before meals. We pray at bedtime. We pray in church, and we pray on the golf course for good reason. We pray as the difficult labor of childbirth begins. We pray before surgery, and we pray at the end of life. And we pray together here each and every week. After the sermon, we share the prayers of the church, the prayers of the people who are gathered. And Jesus promises that where two or three are gathered, that God will be present there. So certainly the prayers of 200 people will be heard. It would be impossible to ignore the prayers of so many. The prayers of 200 people must be powerful, correct? So I decided to go back in my files a little bit, to pull the prayers from the last 10 years or so and take a look at them. And this is what I discovered. I noticed that the prayers have not changed much. The names and the nations have changed, but the prayers themselves are almost identical. We have consistently prayed for the sick for the past 10 years. And as I looked back, 72% of those named are now dead. We have prayed for the political leaders of our country, that they would work together for the common good of all people. No comment. We have prayed for peace in the Middle East and Africa and Central America. And alas, things have gotten worse. We have prayed that all would have shelter and food and clothing and firewood, and we are making great progress on that front, both here on the island and across the world. We prayed for peace in our streets, and we prayed for peace in our families. We prayed that we might forgive each other and that we might let go of the shame and the guilt and come to some forgiveness for ourselves. Sunday after Sunday, year after year, decade after decade, our prayers are pretty much the same, and God remains largely silent. The silence of God is the greatest test of our faith. The truth is, the prayers of God's people have not changed much in the 2,000 years since Jesus taught us how to pray. Is God listening? Is God deaf? Does God care? Is God unable or unwilling to intervene and help us? What do you think? Does prayer work? I believe with all my heart that prayer does work. The prayer does make a difference. I have seen it, I believe it, but I do not for a moment pretend to understand it or understand how God works in my prayer. But I believe most days, Lord, help my unbelief. The silence of God is the greatest test of our faith. Prayer works, but does our prayer change God? Maybe yes, maybe no. Certainly God does hear our prayers, and God can perform miracles, but yet miracles are just that. Miracles, out of the ordinary, unpredictable, not to be counted on. And it's pretty hard for me to imagine that when I pray that I'm going to inform God of something that God did not know or had not perhaps considered. Does prayer work? Yes. But how does it work? Does prayer change God? Maybe yes, maybe no. But prayer changes us. The Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays." I had an appointment in my office some years back. The man came asking for prayer. Sometimes people think that pastors have a more direct line to God than they do. They're hoping that maybe it's a local call from my office. So he'd come to ask for prayer because he was out of work and he needed work. And he said, "Will you pray with me, Pastor, that I might find a good job to support my family?" And I said, "Of course I will. But before we pray, I need to kind of understand how to focus this prayer." So I asked him how he was doing his job search, what that had looked like. Was he networking in person or online? Where had he been looking? How many interviews had he had? And he said, "Pastor, you don't seem to understand. I'm trusting God. I am praying that God will open the right doors for me. And I said, with tender pastoral care, are you just a fool? Or are you a lazy fool? Because if you think God's going to update your resume for you or interview for you, then you better think again. And while we're at it, quit wasting my time and God's time. I didn't say that. Of course I didn't say that. I'd never say that. But I thought it. I did think it. Frederick Douglass, the African-American social reformer, orator, abolitionist, statesman, and former slave, said, I prayed for freedom for 20 years, but received no answer until I prayed with my legs. Once he put his faith into action, he ran to freedom. He changed his life, and he helped change our nation for the better. In the silence, God answers all of our prayers. But how does God answer? Well, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's this would not be good for you, not now, not never. Unless we forget, every prayer we ever lift to heaven should end with the understanding that God might just know more than we do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus ended his prayer by saying, not my will, but thy will be done. That is the prayer of someone who has faith in the one who knows all mysteries and knows what is best for us. So what should we do? We should pray for our marriages, but counseling would be a good idea too. We should pray for our health, but if you're going to pray for your health, then be prepared to quit smoking, to eat less, to drink less alcohol, and occasionally get some exercise. Pray for your financial health, but if you spend more than you make, do not expect God to bail you out. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. I prayed for freedom for 20 years, but received no answer till I prayed with my legs. The silence of God is the greatest test of our faith. You see, abundant life is a partnership. And prayer is a partnership with God, a partnership of faith and action. Now, people in our country are tired right now. People in our country are tired of politicians saying that they're keeping us in their thoughts and prayers while not passing legislation that will actually protect us. And it does our neighbors in Bihar, India, little or no good if we pray for them every Sunday without our hearts being moved to actually help them. And it does no good for us to pray for an end to racism unless we are going to change our hearts and end the racism that is in each of us. So say your prayers. Allow God to soften and change your heart, and then swing a hammer for justice and peace. That is standard operating procedure for prayer. Now, Felicia and I had a rare movie date this past week. The movie that we went to told the story of a young boy who was looking for love and acceptance. He was a little different. His father showed him no love, no sign of affection, no tenderness, no care. His mother was self-absorbed and did not care to be bothered by the little boy who wanted to just play the piano. It tells the story of Reginald Dwight, a musical genius who was tormented by shame and guilt, a musical genius who only desired to be loved for who he was. He was a gay man. He was forced to live in a closet, hiding himself, hiding out in fear and shame, desperately looking for love. Rocket Man is the story of now 72-year-old Elton John. After decades of self-loathing, self-medication, addiction, and attempted suicides, Elton John sought help. And he came to understand that the only way forward was to make peace with his past. He could not go on living if he could not find forgiveness in his heart for those who had hurt him, abandoned him, and refused to love him as God had created him. Now 29 years sober, knighted by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, Sir Elton John is a friend of the royal family and the human family. He has found love and he has found happiness. He has married David Furnish and they have two boys. This was a story of triumph, of survival, of reconciliation. The movie ended joyfully. But I left the theater with a heavy heart and sadness. I felt shame for the way that the church has treated our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. We've failed them for so long. We failed to love them as Jesus loved them. We have grieved the Holy Spirit of God by singing, "All are welcome," meaning everyone who looks like us. This is not what Jesus taught. I felt sad that for so long our society has persecuted and oppressed the gay and lesbian community. I felt sadness, too, for the bigotry and harsh judgment that was deeply ingrained in me as a young boy. I would carry that poison into adulthood. There would be no healing for me. This insidious cancer would not be removed until God gifted this parish and my life with gay and lesbian friends. A dazzling bouquet of sisters and brothers who love Jesus and took a chance on being loved by us here at TLC. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. There's no way forward, my friends. There is no healthy way to live without forgiving each other. The Bible says, as you have been forgiven, so you must forgive. Hear this now. God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you of all of your sins. God knew that He couldn't move forward with each of us unless He first forgave each of us. God has forgiven you all your sins, and if you want to live, you go and do likewise. Find forgiveness in your heart. Cut out the cancer that infects your soul and keeps you from moving forward. The silence of God is the greatest test of our faith. But guess what? God is not silent right now. God is not silent here. No, God is calling us. God is begging us to join the party of forgiveness. But as always, the choice is yours. God has spoken. What will we do with that? My prayer is that we can go forward with no hard feelings. My prayer will be followed by action. My prayer, I pray, will have legs. Yes, prayer can change us, and prayer can change the world we live in. Amen.